So the war in the East would go on, and millions more would die between the fall of Stalingrad and the fall of Berlin in May of 1945. As the vice began to close on Germany, as the Western Allies began their push north through Italy and began planning for a cross-channel invasion of so-called Fortress Europe, and as the Russians began finally in 1943 to move onto the offensive, the Allied air offensive began against German cities. The RAF, the Royal Air Force, under Bomber Harris, as he came to be known, also referred to as Butcher Harris, both by the Germans, who found themselves under Harris's bombs, and the British air crews that had to fly the bombers and who suffered enormous casualties. The RAF under Bomber Harris and the United States Army Air Forces, the 8th Air Force, and operating out of Britain, the largest of the American air forces, and the 15th operating out of Italy, would conduct a systematic campaign of strategic bombing that was a radical departure from all previous uses of air power. Indeed, it would be, as we've already indicated when we talked about the outbreak of war, it would be the use of strategic air power that would fundamentally alter the very nature of war in the 20th century. Strategic air power was not the same as tactical air. It was not the same thing as supporting operations at the front through the use of smaller planes. It was a systematic attack against the means of industrial production, against transportation centers. It was an attempt to break the morale of a civilian population of an opponent, to make it impossible for that enemy to continue to wage war. It meant, in practice, the bombing of cities, the bombing of civilian populations, who would be, although the term wasn't used at the time, I think one would call it collateral casualties in the euphemistic language of the 1990s. Beginning in 1942, the Royal Air Force, which bombed at night, would begin saturation bombing, area bombing of German cities. The 1,000 plane raid on Cologne was a preview of what Harris had in mind. For the British, the idea of breaking German morale, breaking the morale of German workers by dehousing workers was the way this was put. The British bombed at night and bombed not to hit specific military targets, but really to destroy first real estate, built up areas of cities, and then finally to, as they put it, they were quite clear about it, to kill German civilians, workers. The Americans, in a typical combination of American idealism and belief in technology, armed their planes, the B-17 bombers, the B-24 bombers, big four-engine planes, with the Norden bomb sight, capable, the Americans believed, of hitting precise targets, a factory in the middle of a town, with the minimum of collateral damage, bombed in the daytime. Daylight precision bombing was the policy pursued by the United States. It was effective. It was possible to hit these targets. But in the process, of course, civilians would also die. As a consequence, round-the-clock bombing became Allied policy. German cities were pounded regularly, night and day, during the day by the Americans, at night by the British RAF. In the summer of 1943, the city of Hamburg was attacked at night by British bombers using incendiary bombs. A firestorm ensued, so intense that metal melted in the center of the city. A vacuum was created that literally sucked the air out of the center of Hamburg so that people suffocated standing outside on the street attempting to get away from the flames. It was a grisly preview of the destruction that strategic bombing would bring to the German home front. And of course, in February of 1945, 135,000 people would die in the firebombing of Dresden. Between 1942 and 1945, half of the built-up area of 70 German cities were destroyed, largely by British bombing, but also by the Anglo-American air forces working together.